The Bucks beat the Bulls 86-93. This is actually going to be the 5-minute pod. I always call it the 5-minute pod, and then it becomes the 19-minute pod or the 28-minute pod, and you know this. We'll just vent into the phone, and if people like to vent into the phone, we'll keep doing this, and if not, whatever. I don't have any thoughts. I didn't look at the box score other than during the game. I'd like to shout out Chris very early, had 4 points. One foul and four turnovers, repping the 414. But, you know, what can you say about this game that you can't say about Afghanistan, right? Game one jitters. I mean, I think we can say all this. You want the positive take, the mid take, or the sky is falling take. I just think it just has to be said at this point that the Bucks got the chip, and so we as fans who don't have anything to do with the outcome except it'd be great if some of y'all could stand up and cheer. You know what? Who's that? Somebody's texting me. Okay. Let's address this first. The fans were terrible. I was in my office 5 minutes ago from the very opening Booker three-pointer. The Phoenix crowd is electric. People in the first four rows are standing up from the first shot. It's an embarrassing crowd, and I'm sick of people, like, not calling it out. The one Marquette G guy or whatever else, I guess, was got into a snit about this tonight or something. You guys who were there, go right ahead and tell me it was a great crowd in person or it was an okay crowd or it's the Bulls fans. Like, we see those shots. You guys do know that we see those shots on the close-ups. We see people, like, on their phones kind of golf clapping. We see you golf clappers. We see you. And by the way, we see you wearing blue and purple and green and light green and the Bulls red. Shout out to the dude who wore some kind of Easter red in like the third row. Like it was like some Nike Easter hoodie, but then like a purple 90s Bucks hat ended up in like 20 of the shots during the game. I don't know. You want to talk about the game? Chris was awful. Drew was pretty bad. Drew and Brooke at least still closed. But again, this is why he didn't win MVP, right? So I feel like I'm just going to backlog the old takes. Because here's the thing, right? Bucks are up 1-0. It's not like the Magic series, which we choked away. Like the entirety of the bubble was just incredibly embarrassing, but like this isn't the Magic game. We got the win. I think a lot of people were kind of feeling five. I was actually the first one before everybody started saying that, like right before game time 5 days ago, I was like, our game one records aren't usually that great, right? I mean, like maybe the biggest win was Raptors game one, and then somebody said, yeah, Heat game one. We didn't play really that great Heat game one last year, but obviously that was a big game and certainly flipped that series. I just think at this point, like the game done changed, man. The game done changed, and it's one thing. Well, there's two levels that just us invested in the discourse are now talking about. Like there's the phony conversation. Like I get the jokes, right? Y'all know Jokic is great, right? Like you do understand that, right? You know Jokic is awesome. Like I feel like people know Jokic is awesome and they're just like getting their takes off. Similarly, Durant is awesome, but he didn't look awesome today. So that's just the way this goes. Everybody, like I don't, as much as this is kind of a takey podcast, I don't really feel the need to just slander truly great players, but like that's kind of where it's going. And the Giannis run and dunk narrative is going to get some steam if the rest of the bums on this squad can't carry him. And really narrative wise, and you guys know I was saying this last year, and we said this throughout the playoffs, said this in all the guest appearances, we just kept saying it. People kept saying, well, people said a couple of things, right? People said Drew and Chris came through when it mattered in the biggest moments, fact check untrue, and that this was enough. But like the thing that just, if you've watched the NBA for a long time, like the Drew performances and the Chris performances would not have been enough, except, Connaughton and Portis were just Van Vleeting all over the place. Van Vleeting just here, there, everywhere, from the windows to the walls. So, like, that's what actually happened. We need all those dudes to play well, plus Brook Lopez, to beat, like, actually good teams. If not, you're going to see a lot of what, like, this Bulls game was. So positive signs, it looks like Boston, you can certainly argue that Boston is going to, even if they somehow get the Nets out in like five, are going to have like a tough, I would argue it's going to be a tough series. It seems like it was going to be a tough series. This does seem like the game that Brooklyn had to win. But, you know, a lot had to go right for Boston also. But I totally agree. Like I've been saying for a while that I just think people aren't bullish enough on the potentiality of Boston. At the same time, I mean, the Kyrie defensive effort, you know, his Middleton-esque defensive effort takes points and wins off the board in a similar way. And so that's kind of the thing. So positive. West looked good. Giannis did the run and dunk thing. The Giannis free throws, didn't look at the box score, seemed like he kind of missed a lot. Again, though, as someone who loves basketball more than the Bucks, we're not winning anything if these dudes are making these passes. Chris and Drew, the Chris turnover and the Drew turnover stuff is not championship grade. And I just don't know what we can fix at this point other than faking George Hill's COVID test and Javon Carter. But nobody really thinks those are the answers anyway. So, again, we're going to go through games. I'm sure there'll be a great bounce back game in game two or three, but we just can't execute for squat, and it drives me nuts. And if you notice this, if you, dear listener, are the type that notice this, probably right now you're being called not a fan by loser nerds, and you're just going to have to, like, block those people or mute those people or deal with it however you got to deal with it, because, of course, the you're not a fan people, I'm sure, are going to be out. Look, we're right back. Game one, everybody. We're right back in the mix. Bud's a moron. Chris and Drew are the worst ball handlers I've ever seen. And what was so frustrating about tonight is I feel almost like kind of the lobs that the good lobs, some of the good Chris passes earlier, even as you're watching him, you're like, that's not a good pass. He can't possibly see that that's going to work. That's 50-50 at best. And he threw the 50-50 ones. I don't know. I feel like I expect more from Drew than Chris. So his bad turnovers in traffic, like, irk me at this point more than Middleton's. Middleton just shouldn't have the ball, and he just turtled up again. So again, was this a big game? I guess we won, so it's not a big game, but just kind of stopped shooting when we kind of needed him to. And it helped that DeRozan was 6 for $1 million and LaVine was 6 for $500,000 or whatever it was. So I think ultimately we're in pretty big shape. But I'll just say again, I'm just going to keep saying what I think. As we watch, as we go through this playoff journey, if you want to listen to people who are going to lie to you, like, go right ahead and do that. Like, go right ahead and do that. But I did find it interesting that no one was saying, and this is what I mean about narrative. This is how Chris became an all-star, but this is how narratives are allowed to foster. And foster isn't the word. What's the word? Flourish is the word. How narratives are allowed to flourish, where then it's like, nobody watches the Bucks was the thing we were saying 2017, 2018, 2019, right? And so announcers say the same five dumb things if it's a Reggie Miller game, but really anybody. Back when we had Weber and Marv, any of these games, they'd say, oh, Chris is so smooth with this. Oh, Giannis, oh, we'd give him that three. You know, Reggie Miller say, well, you concede that three. Like, they say five or six things, right? And so what no one said on the broadcast, because our local guys don't say it and our podcasters don't say it, and whoever the big, you know, the big radio guys, whoever those might be, like, no one says it. No one says, hey, you know, Drew Holiday's been the closer all year. Let's see what happened. And at the end of the game, Brook Lopez, minus the free throw he missed, I think, Brook Lopez and Drew Holiday closed, right? Like, Chris could have closed. I was, like, hoping this would be that Chris hits a couple shots at the end. But no one's like, okay, well, you know, watch this. Hey, here's some good intel. There've been many games where now Drew Holiday will get 10 out of the next 12 points and it's donezo. But nobody said that because no one knows, which is why Drew Holiday was an all-star, because nobody talks about it, right? For whatever reason, they want to talk about Chris Middleton, point shaving. So, and, you know, in a similar fashion, like, I mean, every once in a while you'd get the, like, Pat Connaughton, white guy dunk, isn't that something? But those are the couple of things that people would say. And no one said, I thought Kenny said at the break, well, like, Middleton's been bad all year. Basically, he didn't say it quite like that, but that's what he said. But people don't even really know that. No one was like, well, he's already got four turnovers in the first quarter and a half. Well, this is a career high in turnovers. I bet you could listen to any podcast all year and no one said Chris Middleton career high in turnovers, because that's not really how stuff works. So we're going to be an ensemble all playoffs. It won't especially work, or it won't especially matter in the Bulls series. And yes, they were off 9-10 days, right? Plus, I'm sure Drew and Chris are still really tired from the Olympics, because we're still saying that, right? I will say that I felt at some point during the third and fourth quarter like the rage, the anger, you know, that makes men cruel or whatever that line is. And so NBA playoffs were back, right? I was furious. I was furious all game at the way it went. And it felt good. It felt good to care about a game after all these games against the Hornets and all this stuff that took place after, oh, we got the MVP narrative back for Giannis. Let's not show up. Let's have Chris and all these guys not show up for the Mavericks game. Let's have no one show up for the Clippers game after all these bad games. After the mockery they made of the regular season, at least this feels like the playoffs. But I didn't watch hardly any of the games Saturday, and I watched all the games today. Here's the narrative that we're fighting against. And everybody knows it. You already know it. And perhaps you've noticed there are a lot of really dumb basketball fans. Not just dumb basketball fans. Dumb basketball. Like, just dumb people on Twitter. And so you really shouldn't give the dumb people too much of your time. But all that KD foot stuff is coming right back if we play like bums. And I think I had the podcast. Yeah, I had the podcast then. Like I said, going into the bubbles, it's fun to call the Lakers bubble frauds and everything, but like the Lakers won the title fair and square. Like they showed up, we didn't, right? Anthony Davis, unsustainable shooting and everything. Like they at least showed up. And I just don't think people have fully considered how much will be bubble frauds for the dumb narratives of 16-year-olds, but it'll be everywhere if we blow the second round to the Celtics. And then it'll be Harden was hurt and Kyrie was hurt and all this other kind of stuff. And again, I don't really, like, you don't have to live online, but that's what's going to be said. Like, if Jokic is catching, if Embiid, if LeBron, literally every great player is catching it, you better believe we're going to catch a lot of this. Just because guys aren't really professionals or good at their jobs, but it's just game one, right? At least at the end, we closed out a team not having Lonzo Ball and not having a good coach. But I'm just, here's again my pledge to you. I cannot yell into my phone. I cannot podcast. But this isn't going to be the scaredy cat podcast worried about saying something. Worried about, like, if Chris has 36 points next game, I'm not, like, that'd be great. And I'd be thrilled about that. Like, we're not going to just act like he had a great game. Just a hedge, right? That's, I think we're, like, really, really far past that. And anything else? There was some dialogue. Apparently, they've already ruined the Deer District. I need somebody to confirm this. I was thinking about driving up maybe this next weekend. And is the, well, first of all, I heard it was really cold, but like they've already wrecked the Deer District to pay to get in, or they've cordoned it off, or they've done something, and it's looks like an empty Summerfest pavilion kind of thing. So somebody, like, give us a heads up on that. Is that worth doing, or is it just that it's not hot yet? Because that too was like kind of a little bit embarrassing. So yeah, defending the title, 2022. Not great, Bob. Not great. I do think. We'll do the questions next time. I think if there are a couple of questions. TetoniaWorld.com, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, the great thing about the playoffs is we're only one good game away from, you know, rocking the Bulls by 25 points in game two, and this being kind of more of a laugher, but I just, the approach was a regular season game approach, and it was extra version of Giannis. There was a lot of dunks and secondary points, and there was a lot of stuff going on that was really positive in the first, but like the open shots were still going to, you know, the Bobby and Pat. Pat needs to get it going too, by the way. But man, aren't you guys just thrilled we didn't play the Raptors? Can you imagine if we played the Raptors? If we were playing the Raptors right now? Because we cannot, like, again, I've been saying this for infinite years, like since the dawn of time, since before the dawn of time, we've been saying, what if Chris just shot the ball? he can't bring the ball up the way this is going. By the way, again, we're seeing him now just get blocked, just someone standing in front of him blocking. Him kicking his leg out isn't doing it. I don't think he went to the line tonight until like the last 10 seconds. So there was a lot of question, and I actually thought, as much as I despise all grifts and all non-basketball plays and block charges and all this kind of stuff, a big catalyst to everything he does was falling down on three-pointers. And the beginning of the year, it looked like, when it looked like they were actually going to officiate the regular season correctly, and then that just kind of became like a point of emphasis that was gone by January. If he can't grift for calls, we're in a lot of trouble. Like, if he can't get those home calls, he didn't really go for it. But, like, again, we said this all regular season. Like, different regular season, he tries, like, kind of flip shots and just, like, feast or famine with some of that kind of stuff. But, like, what are the again, and even to a player, like, a great player like Durant, right? Durant has every shot. Every shot. Like, he's an overrated offensive player in so much as I think people just... He's still a spindly stick man. There are some limitations with that, and he's not the best playmaker, but Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. And yet, like, there are shots, you still push him the shots that he would not like more often, because every shot is a good shot, but it does. He's going to make those more questionable shots at a lower percentage on average, or that's what you can hope for. So, like, if the flip shot, if all that regular season stuff wasn't part of your diet, I don't think the grifts are really going to be there. Cause for optimism is I did feel like there are plenty of regular season games where Chris would just have one turnover and have this not be a problem. But I can't stress this enough. He's not a playmaker. Why do we ever ask him to be a playmaker? It's bad. It's bad basketball. It's going to cost us a championship. How about you just take 20 shots and we'll live with it? Just take 20 shots, which means you're going to have to come off the pick and roll and shoot. Do I say this every episode? I say this every episode. We're going to stop here. Maybe we'll do something post some of these games. We'll keep it like 5-10 minutes. And if I think of anything else, we'll kick it in. And we got at least one more guest episode coming up in the future. But yeah, Bucks win. I have a couple big surprises coming. Shout out to everybody for the last episode. I thought Trey and Camille and Andrew and my brother and Kendrick, and I'm forgetting somebody else. Jimmy FK Gukevich, I want to say. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And I got kind of busy. We were kind of doing brackets with some of those teams, but that was a lot of fun doing that draft. And I was kind of surprised that did big numbers, because I felt like that was a little bit more of a niche episode. But yeah, fun things. Bucks win. We'll catch up with you a little bit later. But again, to recap, bad crowd, bad coach, bad small forward. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Whatever. Good night.